The best part of my day is coming home and finally seeing my husband. I cannot wait to tell you all the juicy details of what has been taking place since this recent update. Stay tuned. Your life. All right, guys. Thank you so much for staying tuned to the Remix Movement podcast. My name is Stephanie, and like I said, the best part of my day is coming home and seeing my husband. I'm telling you, God has a way of orchestrating things to the way that is the best for you. And it may not seem that way because you're waiting for that petition, for that miracle, for that thing that you've been asking for. But when he decides to drop it, when he decides to work in your favor, when he decides to answer that question that you have and that petition that you have and give you that miracle, it is so savory. It is so awesome. And it feels so good. I mean, I'm telling you guys, he'll be here when I get home. And it's just, it makes me smile. It makes me happy. And I see Lewis and I see me on the same schedule. And I'm just like, praise be to God. Because only God can do that. All right. So that's just a little testimony I want to say because I had it on my heart. But I want to go ahead and talk about something that is very difficult for me and maybe you to go ahead and do in our daily walk with God. In our daily relationships with others, I'm talking about apologizing, all right? Sometimes when we know we're wrong, we feel bad and we are prideful and we got an ego and we just don't want to apologize. We don't want to look like that person that was like, man, they were right. Now I got to go apologize. It is difficult. This is a fleshly thing to do, and it's something that your spirit has to fight to do. Okay. So for this episode podcast, episode 228, we're talking about how to be quick to apologize. Now, let me tell you something. When you know that you're wrong and you know you got to apologize, it may feel like you don't want to do it, but it's so much better if you do it. And I'm going to tell you why. Okay. Apologizing quickly reduces the time spent feeling insecure and conflicted. All right. When you apologize, knowing that you did something wrong, knowing that you hurt someone else's feelings, knowing that you may have lied, knowing that, you know, life is hard and I made a mistake. Now I got to go apologize. The quickest way that you apologize right after you know you made a mistake alleviates the pain that might be caused to that other person. It helps heal the soul, because what happens is if you don't apologize, the other person may know that you are wrong, may never have that conversation, may be feeling all these different types of insecurities, may not be feeling like they're in the right relationship. They may not be feeling like this is something that can be fixed. And all of those things, that time that's in between from when the situation happened and when you apologize, is a feeling of confliction, confusion, and it makes you feel bad. It makes you feel bad. All right. Now, in relationships, especially when you're in a boyfriend and girlfriend relationship, a best friend relationship, a mom and dad relationship, a husband and wife relationship, when you have people that are really close to you, right, you're so used to the routine, and then something slips up and you guys don't see eye to eye on something and someone's wrong. If you know that you're wrong, you need to be quick to go ahead and apologize. You need to show the other person that you care. You need to show the other person that their feelings matter, and you need to be right, okay? The quicker you're able to say, I'm sorry, the quicker you're able to restore that moment where that communication faltered, you're gonna be able to recuperate that time that you spent maybe saying wrong words to one another, fighting to one another, just removing them, right? There's a couple of people that are so quick to cut someone off, right? What do I mean by that? You said something wrong to me. I've been a good friend. You're in the wrong. So since you don't want to apologize, I don't want to be your friend anymore. And I really don't like that attitude, because at the end of the day, when you say, I'm sorry, forgiveness is not so much for the person who's going to say, you know what? I forgive you. It's actually forgiveness for you. See, when you say, I was wrong, I shouldn't have said that. I was wrong, I should have not done that. I was wrong. I acknowledge that. I just want to let you know I'm sorry. You're also allowing yourself to be vulnerable. You're allowing yourself to be honest. You're allowing yourself for God to forgive you and allow that other person to forgive you as well. So in relationships, we need to understand that it's not so much, oh, well, I just got to be wrong all the time. Because you might be in the right, right? There's some people that are right. And they feel like the other person thinks they're wrong, but they know they're right. And even in that situation, we're going to read how the Bible says it doesn't really matter. As long as you guys can come to accordance together and can heal that relationship, restore that, and say I'm sorry to one another, God can do something, okay? But one of the things that I wrote down in my notes was we also need to be quick to hold our tongues. See, when we know we're right and the other person is wrong, and we want them to apologize, but we know that they're probably not going to because of their personality or their character. We need to make sure that we're quick to hold ourselves from reacting out of emotions. So instead of me saying, I know I'm right, I have the receipts, right? Instead of me saying something that I'm going to regret later, I'm going to choose to hold my tongue and I'm going to let that person talk what they want to talk. I'm going to step away from that situation. And I'm going to come back to it. I'm going to come back to it. And regardless if they're right or they're wrong, I'm going to acknowledge that it should have never gotten to that point. It should have never gotten to the point where we are disrespecting one another, where we're saying something wrong to one another, where we feel uncomfortable being in the same room. All right. We need to be able to say, I'm sorry. And holding your tongue is also a part of that because it gives you a little bit of leeway for you to say, you know what? Let me give them time to understand what just happened and maybe they'll come and apologize. And if they don't apologize, I'll definitely go back and I will tell them, you know, I didn't like the way that this conversation happened. I didn't like the way you treated me. But you know what? I'm sorry. And not so much say I forgive you because that's another thing, right? People who know that they're right, their attitude might come out and they might just be like, okay, well, you know what? Since I know that I'm right, you're forgiven. And when you do that, like it makes the other person feel like, why are you trying to forgive me? It wasn't even my fault. And we don't want that. We don't want to play the blame game, right? We just want to come to accordance and say, you know what? It should have never gotten that heated. It should have never got that escalated. I want to apologize and I want to make this right. That's all you need to do. So we need to be quick to apologize. Now, one of the scriptures I want to read is found in James chapter 5, verse 16 to 20. And it says in the New Living Translation, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has a great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was a human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years! Exclamation mark. That's important. Then he prayed again and the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. So what is this saying here, right? Confess your sins to one another. Forgive each other. Pray for one another and you will be able to be healed. Again, healing comes from after the de-escalation of a fight or an argument. It comes after one or both of you guys apologize. God is able to restore that relationship. And it even gives an example here, right? Because when you are arguing, when you are not seeing eye to eye with someone, when you get into these heated arguments and we play these blame games, nobody really wants to apologize. It's not in our human nature to want to apologize. You know whose human nature it is to show compassion, to show love, and then out of the compassion and love, then they go ahead and apologize? God. That's a God characteristic. Knowing that there needs to be an apology here is a God characteristic. And sometimes while you're in that season of waiting so you can apologize, you better pray. You better pray for that person. You better say, you know what? This went south. I did not mean for that to happen. Maybe they were wrong. But God, let me pray about this situation because I care about that other person. Because I care about my husband. Because I care about my wife. Because I care about my sister. Because I care about my friend. God, I want to pray even though they might not forgive me. They might not want to restore this relationship. And they might never see eye to eye on this situation. So when he gives the example of Elijah, he says, Elijah was a human soul, okay? And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed without stopping. And even though he prayed, there was no rain that came. And it says even 3.5 years later, it still didn't rain. I'm telling you guys, I felt this way when it came to my prayer of having Lewis be on the first shift. I had prayed. I have gone through so many things. I've had to stay by myself. I've had to cook by myself. I've had to eat by myself because my husband was working the second shift. And yes, this was an opportunity because with that came a promotion, came more money. But I was missing that emotional connection. And I prayed and I said, God, I'm doing the best that I can as a wife. And 5 years passed by. And then I prayed again. And when we got that notification that he was finally able to get on the first shift, I was able to pray and just be like, thank you, God, because you've restored this, because I can see now that you're working this, because prayers do matter. God listens. God is faithful and he's going to come and it's going to take time, but he's going to come. Okay. So, you know, make sure that when you're in an argument, when you're looking for a restoration in your relationship, that you pray about it, apologize and pray about it, wait and pray about it, hold your tongue up, pray about it. Because the other side of that is even if you pray for that person, if that person does not want a relationship with you, if that person is bitter, if that person is unforgiving, if that person was like, I don't like this, I don't want to move forward with you, you got to pray about how you're going to deal with that. Because that means that person's going to leave you. They're going to leave your relationship. And again, forgiveness is for you, even if the other person does not want to forgive you. Forgiveness is for you so that God can be able to heal you regardless of what their decision is. If they want to recuperate their relationship with you or they just want to stay, you know, they want to leave. Sometimes that happens, all right? I have more verses here, so let's see. Verse 19, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. So here we're seeing in the sense of two people who believe in Christ, okay? Let's say two of you guys are in a relationship and both of you believe in God. You had an argument, okay? Because of that argument, you decided, or he decided, she decided not to be in a relationship with you anymore, and they didn't want to forgive you. They moved. But then as time goes by, that person is able to come through. That person, maybe you reached out to them again. Maybe you thought about them. Maybe they thought about you. Maybe they sent you a DM. And you were able to bring that person back. And maybe that person's not the same person. Maybe they dabbled in some sin. Maybe they did the wrong things after that. Maybe that changed them. But it says here, even if you pray and you come back to that relationship, when you come back to that relationship, you're able to have the power not only to show that person who God is, not only to save them from making more mistakes, you have the opportunity to have forgiveness once again. Okay? So I want to go now to Matthew chapter 5, and I'm going to be reading verses 21 to 26. Again, we're talking about apologizing. We're talking about relationships with people, how we need to be quick to apologize, how God is able to use that moment where you're saying, you know what, I was wrong, and maybe I wasn't wrong, but I want to restore this relationship. I care too much about this person. I want God to flow in this, and I just need to be quick to apologize, all right? So verse 21, it says, you have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. So if you're angry with someone, it's the same as if you were to commit a murder. That's how serious God is about anger and relationships with people. Okay. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the courts. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So even if you disrespect someone, you call them names, you put them down, you curse them out, all of these things, God is saying, hey, I value relationship. And you need to show love to that person. You should not be calling them names. You should not be getting angry at them. You should not be calling them an idiot. You should not be cursing them. It doesn't matter how mean that person is. If that person is a relationship that God has called you to be in, be it a marriage, be it a boyfriend and girlfriend, be it a son or daughter, be it a mom and a child, you better make sure that God is in there, because God ain't playing no games. He's talking about, it's the same thing. And this is the New Testament. We're not talking about the law here. We're talking about the New Testament. He's saying this is what our ancestors said through the law, which is still valid in God. Okay. Verse 23. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the temple, at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. When you are on your way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to an officer and who will be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you have paid that last penny. All right, so what are we seeing here? The truth is that God values our relationships with others. I'm going to say that again. God values our relationships with others. I tell you this all the time. We were not meant to live alone. In this world that we're living in, you have to know people. You have to be in communication with people. You got to go to the store. You're going to meet people there. You got to go to the doctor. You're going to meet people there. You're going to go to the beach. You're going to meet people there. You're going to go to the work. You're going to meet people there. God has surrounded us with people to establish relationships because he values it. Okay. And it even says here, listen, if you go to church and you give me an offering, you give me your tithe. I really think that if you have something against someone, you better leave that, because your heart and your soul is not right with that person. God values your relationship with others. So our relationship with others are horizontal, right? Our relationship with God is vertical. So listen to what I'm about to tell you, okay? Our horizontal relationships with others are a direct reflection of our vertical relationship with God. See, if I love God the way that God wants me to love him, I need to be intentionally loving the people next to me. If I love God the way that I'm supposed to love him, if I'm being a genuine person, if I'm trying to be a Christ follower, I need to make sure that I reflect that in my relationships with others. I can't be angry for a long time. I can't be bitter. I can't be unforgiven. Why? I can't be thinking that negatively about someone else, because that's a direct reflection of how my relationship is with God. See, there's some people that are listening right now that you're thinking, well, I don't really care too much about this relationship because it doesn't benefit me, or I don't see that it benefits me. But what you don't understand is you pushing people away, cutting people off, and not forgiving people, not apologizing, is an actual direct reflection of your relationship with God. See, if you go to church and you still don't forgive God, God is telling you right here, it doesn't mean anything to me. Your money is not on the opposite end of a blessing if you're cursing the person that you just finished getting out of the car with. See, God is not going to be able to bless you at church if for any reason you had a conversation last night with your mom and you were saying things that were foul about her, because now you're not only are you not honoring your mom and dad the way you're supposed to, but you are directly showing God, like, hey, God, I believe you in some things, but I don't believe you in this part. God, I believe you for what you're trying to do in this area and this area, but when it comes to this person, I don't want to apologize to them. That's not for me. You see, God, even though there are people that at that time didn't like him, said bad things to him, gave him away, right? Even though they said all these bad things about Jesus, he was still able to show forgiveness. He was still able to show love. He was still able to show mercy. See, Judas went ahead and betrayed Jesus, but you don't see Jesus telling him, well, you know what? I know that you were going to do this, and I don't know if I can forgive you, because now I got to go on this cross, and this cross is going to be like a really painful situation. No, instead he says, do what you have to do. See, he says, I know what you're going to do, and it's meant for this to happen, but I love you too much to have an argument with you in front of all these people. Because Jesus had all the power in the world from God to be able to say, you know what, Judas, I knew you were going to do this from the beginning. I knew this. He could have showed him out. He could have been like, you know what, guys, this is the person that you are not supposed to hang out with. I made a mistake in making this person a disciple. But, you know, instead, he said, do what you need to do. this is what's going to take place. I understand and I get it. In a way, he's trying to tell us, listen, people, there's going to be people in your lives that you're going to have to work with that you may not like. And even though you may not like them, you still got to be like God. You still have to show them who Christ is. You still have to apologize quickly. You still have to be the person to say, you know what? I'm gonna forgive you because God is forgiving. I may not agree with you. I may not like the way you treated me. I may not like the words you said to me. But you know what? God is so much bigger and he's working on my character. God wants me to forgive you. And you don't have to say it directly like that, but that's what he's trying to say here. So once again, God values our relationships with others, and our horizontal relationship with others are a direct reflection of our vertical relationship with God. Here's another point I want to make. Check this out. The cross. The cross. What is the cross? It's a long line and then a line in the center. It wouldn't be the cross without the horizontal line in the center. It would just be an eye. It would be one stick. It would be one eye. So if you take away that horizontal relationship, that value system of how we're supposed to help one another, we're supposed to sharpen one another, we're supposed to forgive one another. If you just take that out, all you really have is one lonely and selfish person. One person who does not value others, but is actually trying to come up with excuses on how they should be blessed by God. See, if you're looking at the cross, that vertical line on the cross is way longer than that little horizontal line on that cross. There's a reason for that. I believe the reason is that God's love for us is so much wider, so much deeper, so much better, so much more forgiving, so necessary for us to be able to have a good relationship with other people. See, I might have people to my left and my right who may have scarred me, who may have said things to me, who may have done things behind my back that I found out from someone else. But because I love God so much and I realize that there's a bigger purpose in my life, I allow God to speak to me through the word of God, through prayer, through seeking him, through going to church, and through surrounding myself with other believers, so that when I'm with those people who may be negative or with those people that I love that may be hurting me, may be able to have the love and grace that God gave me. I'm going to leave it like that because then that goes into a whole nother thing. But that's what I'm trying to tell you guys here, right? Being quick to apologize is not a surrender. It's a strength. It's not a weakness. It's something that allows us to be able to give God the ability to restore that relationship if necessary. Being quick to apologize, being quick to hold your tongue instead of reacting with emotions is a strength and a tool that God has given us so that we can be able to live life the way he intended us to be. So I encourage you today that if you're listening to this podcast and there is someone who may have hurt you, somebody in your family that you haven't seen, somebody in your you know, group of friends that has been a while, that you had a bad conversation with them, that they may have said something wrong to you, that maybe you did something wrong. Maybe you come to realize it actually was your fault. Go ahead and just be quick to apologize. It doesn't matter how many years, how many months have passed by. God is able to see that you are being genuine by apologizing, and he will restore and give love and grace to those relationships that he's intended to be in your life. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to speaking to you guys again very soon. We are going to be having our Friday prayer wave on Friday, so enjoy the rest of your week. God bless. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Remix Movement for more updates. Be sure to check out our videos on YouTube and subscribe. Feel free to send us a DM with your feedback, questions, and any topics that you would like to hear in any of our future episodes. Thank you, and God bless.